Samara.
Everybody, come on in. It's time for church to start. It's good to see you tonight. How many of y'all are happy to be here on a Wednesday night? Anybody? Well, I'm kind of happy to be here. Kidding. I'm very happy to be here. It's good to see all your smiling faces. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them how incredible they are just for a moment. You're being honest. You are amazing. And it's good to see you here. Now, As every Wednesday, the kids are with us for worship, and they'll be dismissed after worship. So if you have kids in the building and they're not sitting with you, please find them. That would help me out a lot. There is a plan tonight, by the way. We're not sure if it's going to happen. Christine and Lori are fasting and praying and interceding right now. But when church is over tonight, a while ago, a whole bunch of our kids, even some of our teenagers, they wrote some things on some rocks that had to do with a lesson that was happening. The plan was when church was over tonight that everybody would go out and they have a place in our garden out there to put the rocks. Obviously, it's raining and pouring and all that kind of stuff. So if by chance when service is over, it's not raining, okay, we're going to take the kids out and you parents help us to place the rocks outside. And after they get all wet and muddy, you can just walk around and go home. All right, so... Just say that. But anyhow, so we'll see what the weather's like, and then we'll connect with Christine when church is over and see what's going on with that. So how about this? There's a birthday, but I see the birthday boy. Well, he's always late. Well, happy birthday, Nathaniel. You missed it, all right? I'm kidding. We'll get him when he comes. All right, have him stand up on your feet. Let's worship Jesus together tonight.
The battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. Nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. Through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. there's nothing impossible.
Every soul held captive by the pressure. Have it all. we say, have it all. We hold nothing back from you, Lord. We want all of you and less of us, God. We just say, come like a rushing wind. Come like a roaring flame, God. Bring that refining fire. Knowing that that hurts sometimes and it can be uncomfortable. But we will leave purified and looking more like you. We just say yes to you. Yes to you. In Jesus' name. The name above every other name. The name that is holy and mighty to save. Amen and amen. Well, we're so excited to have you guys here with us. If you would, go around and greet some of your family of faith. And kids, you are dismissed.
All right. We'll give everybody a chance to get all their kids checked into kids' church and all that kind of stuff, but it's good to have you while we wait. Live streamers, wherever you're watching at, Facebook or YouTube, whatever you got, it's good to see you tonight. So a couple things while we're waiting for everybody to get their kids checked in and get back up here. First off, we got, it is Nathaniel's 21st birthday today. Happy birthday, Nathaniel. And for your birthday, I'll get you a free cup of coffee right from the cafe right after church tonight. If you have tithe and offering, get that ready. We also have a guest speaker tonight. So what we're going to do is if you want to sow towards our guest speaker, this will be church tithe and offering. This one over here will be for the guest speaker, okay? And then we'll be blessing him for his time with us tonight. But while we're waiting for everybody to get back up, a couple things. Tomorrow night, we are hosting, and not necessarily us as a church, but the building is the Urbana High School Baccalaureate is happening here tomorrow night. So it's really cool. They kind of rotate that through the churches. So we offered to host the baccalaureate tomorrow night. It's kind of the Christian service of the graduation. So there'll be some Urbana High School seniors and some families here tomorrow night that are attending that. So that's kind of cool, right? And we love to connect in our community to what's happening in our community. Today I met with the local LifeWise leaders that they just finished up their school year a week ago. And what's really cool is they're actually going to come and share here in a handful of Sundays what's going on. But this past school year, LifeWise, if you didn't know, used our building all school year long. We were the place where LifeWise met. LifeWise is that they're able to take kids out of Urbana school district and bring them here, do some Bible teaching with them, give them some food and whatnot, and take them back. And that was happening every Tuesday and Thursday. And they were doing first and second grade. And throughout this school year, the numbers started at about less than 20. And by the end of the school year, there were 50 kids coming to our church through LifeWise on Tuesday. So first grade was here on Tuesday, I think, and second grade was Thursday or vice versa. But anyways, it was really cool thing. So our building was being used to impact our community with the message of Jesus. It's really great. And of course, with that, we also, through the year, host a homeschool co-op too, which happens on Fridays during the school year. But anyways, I met with them today, and they got permission to expand LifeWise first through eighth grade next year. And so, which is really awesome, but then they're like, hey, we need a lot more space. So we're actually talking today a little bit how that works out. But it's really cool. So I love that our building is not just sitting here during the week and just used for a Wednesday night and a Sunday morning. It's used next year. It may be every single day during the week that there'll be students here and being taught the Bible and certainly salvation in Jesus. So it's really cool. So I want to tell you about that. But LifeWise is going to come. I think our next One Big Family, which is the last Sunday of June, they're going to come and just share a little bit about what happened this past year and what's going forward. So that's really cool. But let's take up your tithe and offering. And again, we have a guest speaker. So if you want to sow towards that, that's this basket over here. So let me pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for an opportunity to be here, to be in the house, and to hear the word tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you're here with us, and we know that. I pray that our worship is pleasing to you. And I pray as we give, it's a continuation of our worship, Lord, that you are building in us the things and the ways of the kingdom of God. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So come on down if you have something. While you're doing that, just a little bit of commercial. This coming Sunday will be the last part of our series on the kingdom of God. And we've been on this for 7 weeks. And this is what I'm going to teach about Sunday. And this is a message that I promise will make everybody extremely happy. And I'm being facetious. So I'm going to teach on the kingdom of God and politics and what it means to live in a kingdom not of this world, making its way in the world where there's already kingdoms here and our participation in those, and what it means to be a believer in that context. So in light of, we know we got a presidential election coming up this year and all the business that's going to happen about that, I want to talk about it Sunday. So anyways, that's what's happening Sunday, so I'm excited. Generally, I just been putting down some thoughts about it. Generally, when I come up on a Sunday morning, I usually have, and this is type, you know, computer printed, a page and a half to a page and three quarters of notes. That's my normal Sunday. When I printed out my message for Sunday today, it was 5 pages long. So I will be condensing it and breaking it down, and I may spill over to next Wednesday with this. We'll see. Anyhow, so I'm looking forward to Sunday. But having said all that, we got a guest speaker tonight, Justin Duell, his wife Jenny, and Allie and Ella. Did I say that right? Laylee? Okay, yeah, that's it. Justin was a young man in church, in the youth group that I had, and he attended kind of sporadically. But I've known Justin for a long time. They're pastors of the Way Community Church in Deschler. If you don't know where Deschler is, it's about 2 hours that way, all right? And they got a wonderful church happening there. He's been pastoring that church for 3 years now. And it's a growing church. Great things are happening. And you've been here probably, this is your third time, right? Sharing with us, and I love to have Justin down here, and they're doing, again, just an amazing work. So I'm going to let him come up and give the word tonight. So let's give Justin a hand as he comes tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay? Awesome. Praise God. It's always an honor to be able to come and share the word with everybody, and look how, I mean, I'm telling you, even from the last time I was here, I'm looking around like, this place is growing. God is doing some great things here in Urbana, amen? And I just want to thank Pastor Kylan and Margo for having us here today. And you guys have a treasure in Pastor Kylan. You really do, and in Margo. But Pastor Kylan's been walking with me now for quite some time, and he's right. I was sporadic in my youth attendance. He was always coming up, hey, you want to come up and be with us? And I'm going to hang out here with my family today. And he never gave up on me, though, and he always was coming and connecting with me. So I'm extremely grateful for that. But in this season of my life, leading a church in Deschler, he has just been a mentor and a great friend, just walking through this with me. And so you guys are blessed. Amen? Don't ever take for granted the heart of the shepherd that's here in the house. I mean it. Don't ever take that for granted. Because you could go anywhere and people are going to share a message with you, but you'll find very few people like this couple who will actually love you. Come on. They love you. They love God with all their heart and they love you. I know that for certain. There's a lot of things in life I don't know, but I know that for certain. So continue to pray for your pastors. Amen. Walk beside them in love. Walk beside them and allow them to lead this house. And I just pray that over each person in here tonight, that you just, there'd be a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit on each one of you, and a rejuvenation of love. Rejuvenation of love. We're in a society right now that it's hard to find out what love truly is. Love is so many things to so many people, right? And how many of you know the word love has been warped in our culture? Love is not what God intended it to be in our culture's eyes. Love means you do this for me and then I'll do this for you. Come on. Husbands, wives, how many of you in here? Honey, if you rub my back tonight, I'll rub yours tomorrow night. And if it doesn't happen the next night, well, what's up? You told me you was going to rub my back tonight. But love doesn't think its own way. Come on. How many of you have said to somebody, I love you? And what do you wait for them to say back? I love you too. Have you ever said, I love you to somebody and they didn't respond with that? And you're like, what's up? I just told you I loved you. What's up with that? See, love is demonstrational. It doesn't need a reaction from anyone. Jesus proves that at the cross. Jesus, when everyone was against him and nobody was for him, Jesus surrendered his heart to the Father to love you and I very well. Before you ever said yes to him, he said yes to you. He came to you first because he loved you first. Amen? Now, I was very fortunate. When I met my wife, she fell in love with me immediately. She really did. She really did. We fell in love like immediately. It was like, it wasn't a long, drawn out thing. We just went to McDonald's one time and she hasn't gotten rid of me since. And I'm grateful for that, for sure. But over time, the love has grown to the place where my wife does not have to respond to me for me to love her. Come on, look at all the couples in the house. Uh-oh, they can talk to me all night long about loving my spouse. This is a part of it, guys. Love is the foundational thing. Amen? And all everything we get, we need to get love in our hearts. We need to be rooted and grounded in God's love. And you got to believe it. How many of you woke up this morning wondering if God loved you? Be honest. Be honest. Did anybody in here wonder? You woke up, feet hit the floor. Man, I wonder if God is with me today. I wonder if God is for me today. I wonder if God loves me today. Now, I know the discipleship you get in this house, you better not have woke up like that this morning. Amen? Because that's constantly be poured into you. God is for you. He's not against you. He loves you. And he doesn't, he woke, when you woke up this morning, God was right there to let you know he loves you. Despite what yesterday's looked like, you woke up today loved by God. The question is, do you believe it? What you believe, you'll respond to. You know how I know everyone in here has faith tonight? Because at 7 o'clock, you all were here. You knew church was at 7 o'clock tonight, and your belief that church started at 7 motivated you to get up off the couch, yeah, put on some clothes, and get into the car and drive here because you knew at 7 o'clock you were going to come into the house of God and be a part of what God was doing. Every one of you walked in faith tonight to get here. Not one of you came here with doubt tonight. Not nobody came here tonight and said, man, I better call somebody. You think church is happening tonight? Nobody did that. You knew by faith, by what you believed, that church was happening here tonight. How much more is it important for us to know and believe that God loves us even when we don't feel it? Right. Even when people are talking about us? Listen, my wife and I this past month, it's been one attack after the other. Anybody else in the house feeling that? Okay, yeah, okay. But you know what? That doesn't determine God's love. God's love is what affirms us to go through those difficult times relationally with people. If you're looking for people to like you all the time, you're going to be miserable. Come on. We have to know and believe God loves us. Open your Bibles tonight to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I want to lay a few scriptures out here for you tonight. I'm going to be respectful of your guys' time too. I'm just here to just pour into you for a few minutes and let the Holy Spirit do his work. Amen. But I know Pastor Kylan has been talking to you on Wednesday nights about knowing God. And so I want to just sort of pick up where he's been talking to you about knowing God. And I just want to add a few things that he's been sharing. And hopefully I do that justice tonight. But really what I desire for you to walk out of here knowing that God loves you. Knowing that God has not forgotten you. Even if you're going through the worst time of your life. Even in the midst of the most difficult times, it does not change. God loves you. Come on. You know difficulties come to try to divert your attention from God? Because when your eyes are fixed on Jesus, nothing can shake you. But when your eyes get fixated on the situation, now the situation begins to define you rather than the love of God. So, let's look at what Jesus says here. Jesus is praying in the upper room. This is right before he's getting ready to go to the cross. He's with his 11 disciples. Judas has left the table. And he says this in verse 3. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the one true God and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I apologize. Are you guys using NLT or ESV? ESV. Give me one moment. We're going to use ESV. Is that okay? I was using NLT. Let me get over here. And I knew that, and I forgot about that before I got in. So let me read that again to you out of the ESV. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Notice eternal life is just not a ticket to heaven. It is not just a ticket to heaven. Heaven is a byproduct. It's a blessing. It's an honor to be able to dwell with God for all eternity in heaven. Can I get an amen? Amen. However, that's not the point of salvation. The point of salvation is to know God. That God would come and now put his spirit inside of you. His spirit. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you. Somebody say, he's in me. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, you know what? I'm just going to pray for that person. Let God sort it out. You know what we do many times when we say that? We disenfranchise ourselves from being a part of the answer to that problem. You know why? Because we're afraid we're going to get hurt. Because many times we're not rooted in love. We're rooted in responses. We're not rooted in God's love many times. So what we do is we don't approach people in love many times because we're fearful of their response. How many of you have in-laws? How many of you agree with everything your in-laws do? I got one person in the back. I do. Pastor Kylan says I do. Listen, you're going to have times where you're going to have to stand for truth, even in the midst of family, even in the midst of friends, and even in the midst of people who don't like you. You're going to have to stand in the truth of God's love and his word in the most difficult times. And you're going to have to go through fire. You're going to have to go through difficulties at times. You're going to have to go through people not liking you for the sake of Christ. Somebody say, for the sake of Christ. If people don't like you because you're a jerk, that just needs to be repented of and surrendered to Jesus. Amen? I'm talking about true followers of Christ who are despised and rejected because they walk in the character and the nature of Jesus. That's an honor to suffer in that regards. It's an honor to know that God loves you even when everybody else turns their back on you, and you can be completely faithful, completely okay in the midst of that situation because God is with you and he loves you. I don't look for love from anyone, not even my wife, even though I know she loves me. If I look for love from people, it's a good indicator that I do not understand what the love of God is. Because people are like this, right? Now, none of you are because you're believers. Come on. We are to live a life consistent with the heart of Jesus. We should not be a people that look like this. One day we're up, one day we're down. My emotions are up, my emotions are down. This is going good, this is going bad. All we do is we allow the circumstances of life to define us. We're only as good as our day is, and then all of a sudden we recognize our light has went dim, and nobody even knows we're a believer anymore because we're not rooted in the love of God. See, when we're rooted in the love of God, I know he loves me, whether if anybody else does or not. I'm not going to be moved by what people think, say, or do. I want to know him. This is eternal life. Jesus said it like this: Father, your will be done on earth as it is in where? Heaven. So we can live a life full of joy and peace on this earth now, and we're not just trying to get to heaven, but we get to walk this thing out with Jesus, with one another, in order to glorify God. We don't have to be a people that's up and down, up and down. Now, are there times where things are up? Sure. Are there times when things are down? Absolutely. But how many of you know God doesn't change? He's faithful, and he is good. So Jesus says, this is eternal life, is to know God, to know Jesus, the one that he sent. Now, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Here I am turning my Bible, and here I got to go to the ESV. I got to jump over here. All right, Matthew chapter 22, we're going to look at verse 36. Jesus being questioned here. Jesus is asked by a teacher. He says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. In other words, on these two laws, every Levitical law, every law in the old covenant, these two laws are the greatest. And if you live by these two laws, you won't have to try to keep the other laws, because you'll fulfill those laws by keeping these two. By loving God, and he says it like this. It's not loving God and then loving your neighbor. He says equal and likened to it. Loving God and loving your neighbor. So, how many of you ever heard, all I need is Jesus, I don't need anybody else? Have anybody heard that before? Even in the church. Somebody tries to tell you something in the church. I don't need to hear that. I just need Jesus. Well, yeah, you do need Jesus. That's absolutely true. But we are not designed to just know Jesus for ourselves. We're designed to know Jesus and be in a body of believers. We are the family of God. And do you know, you get to reveal your love and your walk for Jesus based upon how you treat one another. You ever hear somebody say, I love Jesus, and they're just mean? Come on. Again, I know nobody in here is that way. But I know this, if people say, I love Jesus, but you know that you can't trust them with information, because if you tell them, somebody in the church is going to find out about it about 3 minutes after you tell them. So we say we love God that we cannot see, but yet we many times reveal our love for God to those who we can see. And God gives us the ability to express our love to him by how we treat one another. Isn't that beautiful? Many times we don't think of it this way. A lot of times we think, oh, I just need to be alone with Jesus. Yes, you need to be alone with Jesus. Somebody say, I need to be alone with Jesus. We need to be in a place of surrendered prayer, time of word and meditation. We need to be isolated from people and be with him. But from that place of what I'm with my Father in, now I get to express my secret place in the public place with my brothers and sisters. And I've seen people come out of prayer meetings and lose their mind because traffic was a little bit thick. You know why? Because we're not rooted in love, we're rooted in ourselves. We are rooted in how we feel, what we want, how we want it, when we want it. And we desire God to be as good as how we feel. When God is good, despite how you feel. Amen? So we get to express our love for one another. And guess what? That is equal and likened to loving God. It's beautiful. I love that I get to express my love to Judah. I remembered your name, brother. I'm glad I get to express my love to him as a brother in Christ. Because you know why? Even though we haven't seen each other for a season, I still love him as a brother because we're in covenant. We have the same Father. We have the same blood that's washed us clean. We have the same God who's faithful to both of us. And you and I can connect for 4 minutes, a half hour, whatever that looks like. And you know what? We can love each other based from the love that we've received from our Father. But if we don't know that we've received love from our Father and we don't believe that, now Judah might be somebody I go, I'm not really quite sure about this guy. Looks a little shifty, that big beard. Don't know. You see what I'm saying? So pretty soon you begin to look at people from the eyes of what you can get from them rather than from the eyes of the love that you've received in your private place. Let's look at this. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 7. Actually, I'm going to set this down here by you. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 7. Pastor's talk about how he's got 5 pages of notes, and I'm like, I love it. But on this message I'm sharing with you tonight, this is one of those ones, either we're carrying the love of God or we're not. Come on. I could stand up here all night, but if you don't know I love you, you're going to walk away from here not changed. I could walk away from here tonight, and if you don't know God loves you, you're going to walk away the same. But as soon as you know God loves you, and that the person next to you loves you, you can walk out of here going, you know what? Life's going to be okay. Things are going to be okay because God is with us. Let's look at verse 7. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Stop right there. What's it say? Let's read it again. Beloved, let us love one another. Look at your neighbor and say, I love you. Look at your other neighbor and say, I love you. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and what? Knows God. Knows God. You know, you can come to an altar and say a prayer to ask Christ into your life and get up, walk away, and never experience his love. Many people do that. They come to an altar, they say, God, would you forgive me? They get up and they go do life their way. And they think because they said a prayer, that prayer all of a sudden has become salvific in their life. When Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you need to pick up your cross, you need to deny yourself, and you need to follow me. The prayer is the initial place where we stop and we say, God, I no longer want my life, I want yours. And I used to ask people, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? I would tell people that. Would you like to ask Jesus into your heart? And they'd say, oh yeah, absolutely. And I'd lead them through a prayer. Now I ask people, hey, do you know Jesus wants you in his heart? Are you ready to say yes to his invitation? Because when I ask people, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? That means all of a sudden I'm allowing God to come into my heart. Like I have the control. Listen. He loved me way before I ever loved him. And for me to say, God, I'm going to ask you into my life, I think now that I've looked at it over the years, it's actually a little bit of a silly statement. He's saying, Justin, would you come into me? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. I will wipe your sins clean. I will wash you white as snow. Come to me. And here I am going, Jesus, you can come on in. When in fact, it's my response to the gospel of the good news of Christ that says, Jesus, I am yours. I'm saying yes to your invitation. And my yes means that I believe that you died and you resurrected. And I'm willing to lay my life down at the altar of the mercy seat so that I can pick up what you have called me to. What does that mean? It means that we're no longer about ourselves. It's not about me. Somebody say, it's not about me. It's all about him. Salvation is more about God than it is even about us. John 3:16, for God, doesn't say for Justin, doesn't say for Pastor Kylan, doesn't say any of that. It says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whosoever would believe. What you believe is important. Do you believe that man loves you? That's important. Do you believe she loves you? That's important. Most people, you know, when marriages begin to fall apart is when the person stops believing the other person loves them. You get your eyes on something else. You get your eyes on fixated on something else that you're not in covenant with. Could it be possible that we as the body of Christ have gotten our eyes fixated on things of the world so much so that we have forgotten our first love? And this isn't to like condemn you. These are things to like just make us think a little bit. Like, God, where am I at in my love walk with you? Like, do I really love you? Do I love you for what you can give to me? Or do I love you because you are God? See, I'm tired of seeking just the hand of God. I want his heart. I want to know why he's thinking what he's thinking. I don't know what he's up to. I love how Pastor says that about prayer. Prayer isn't just about what we're asking God, but it's about finding out what God is doing and getting in on it. That's a powerful statement. That's a very powerful statement. Many times we go to prayer and we got our checklist. I prayed for so-and-so. I prayed for the church. I prayed for pastor. I prayed for everybody. Good, I got my checklist done. Let's go out. You walk out the door and you got a 5-minute wait at Big B Coffee and you're ready to strangle the person behind the desk because your coffee's not made in time. I know I'm about 223 pounds. I might be on your toes a little bit. I'm a little heavy. But I'm telling you this because it's so important. What's more important, praying your checklist or knowing him in your secret place? Because when you know him in your secret place, now you can wait 25 minutes for your coffee in Big B, and you're going to be okay because you value the person behind the table more than your own self. You know why? Because he valued you more than you valued your own self. When we were dead in sin, Christ came and died for us. I heard it said, people will say, well, I'm not that bad. I haven't done that many things wrong. You got to understand, you were dead in your trespasses. See, we think of it like this. We think that Jesus came and we're like this. Jesus, save us. Our hands above the ocean. We're in the ocean. We're at the very top. Jesus, save me. And he reaches up and grabs us. But in fact, friend, you were dead at the bottom of the ocean. And he came to you and breathed life into you because of his great love for you. So now we can't say, well, I'm not as bad as this person. I'm not as bad as that person. I haven't done that much stuff wrong. Listen, you'll know how much God loves you when you see how you treat one another. When you understand when you were dead and you had nothing to offer, that he came and died for you, well, how could we hold anything against anybody? We can't. That's why Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive. Why aren't we merciful to people? Because I'll tell you why. We think somehow, because we're on our way to heaven, we've done something to deserve that. When in fact, we've done nothing to deserve it. It's been because of his love and his extreme mercy and grace towards you that we can stand up today as sons and daughters and walk with him. Amen? Amen. Look at verse 8 here. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Love is not just something God does. Love is who he is. Come on. And it says, anyone who does not love does not know God. So what is love? I'm not going to take you there, but 1 Corinthians 13. We need to look at that this week. That could be some of your homework assignment this week. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 and look what love is and look at what's being developed in your life. Is patience being developed in your life? Is kindness being developed in your life? Not only that, but when you do make mistakes, how many of us know we will make mistakes? I don't want to. I didn't wake up planning on it. But the fact of the matter is, there's going to be one day I'm going to be in a hurry, and that person behind that coffee shop didn't get my coffee quick enough. And I'm like, if you could just get this done quicker enough for me, I'd be all right. Right? But it's recognizing those moments and saying, God, that's not in you. How quick are you to humble yourself under his mighty hand? God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for humility. Amen? So that gives me room to grow. But it doesn't give me room to make excuses. Is that okay? Listen, I'm trying to get affirmation from everybody. Is that okay? No, really, is that okay? You understand that? Because we have to grow, but just because we're in his love, just because we're growing in his love, doesn't give us an excuse to just throw that under the table at times when we feel like it. Right. We need to be quick to recognize that that wasn't love. And we need to go back to that person and say, hey, look, I apologize. That wasn't love. And I want you to know I love you. Quick story, and we'll close up here. When I was working years ago, I was a supervisor at this company, and while I was there, one of the employees just hacked me off. And I'm just going to say, he just made me mad. He did. He didn't listen to my instruction, and I'm telling you what, I was mad. I'm walking through there. Now, mind you, I'm sharing Jesus with people in my workplace. I'm praying for people. I'm encouraging people. Hey, God will do anything you need him to do. He loves you very much. And that day, that guy didn't listen to me. It became all about Justin not getting what he wanted. I'll never forget that day as long as I live. Because I walked up to two of my other coworkers who I'd been ministering to, and I looked at them and I said, hey, I want to tell you what this guy did. He didn't listen to nothing. I was mad as a hornet. And I walk out of that room that day after I pretty much just slammed this guy. I got about 2 feet from my car and I hear Holy Spirit say, Justin, that was not me. Well, he deserved it. I have rights. I'm a supervisor. He needs to get along with the program. That's what I said. And I couldn't get into my car. Holy Spirit convicted me like that. He said to me, he says, when was the last time I treated you that way when you didn't follow my instruction? I said, I've never. You're gentle. You are so kind. You're so patient. You're so long-suffering. And I stopped and I said, I can't go. I went back into the building. I tell the two guys that were there. I'm like, guys, listen. I am so sorry. That was not right. I said, that's not God. That's Justin trying to prove out his own way. I said, I want to ask you guys to forgive me. That's not how Christians treat other people. And I get into my car and I'm like, phew. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, go find the man you were talking about. I said, I don't want to do that. I'm sitting in my car talking with the Holy Spirit. I'm not kidding you guys. I'm sitting there. I'm like, I don't want to do that right now. Please don't make me go. And you know what? He says, no. He says, listen to me. You have stuff in your heart that's not of me, and you need to get rid of it right now. I said, okay. So I call the guy, and I'm like, hey, buddy. Where are you at right now? Oh, I'm across town here. Okay, I'm on my way. So I drive over there. This guy has no idea I've been talking smack about him. None. He has no idea I've been upset with him. But God did. And I did. So I drive over there. And I'm like, hey, buddy. This is going to sound weird. Would you forgive me? He's like, for what? I said, man, I was over there. And I was just talking about you, man. I want to apologize. I was talking bad about you. I was frustrated with you. I said, I asked God to forgive me, dude, and I just want you to know, I love you, man. I'm not against you. This guy's not a believer, okay? We're going after the lost. Amen. We're not here to bash the lost. We're here to go after them with the light. And when we become about ourselves and not rooted in love, we become as dark as the world sometimes in our interactions. And then we make reasons to believe, good job, supervisor, you did the right thing. And we affirm ourselves with that instead of humbly repenting and saying, that's not the Jesus way. I want to do it what love has called me to. So he's sitting there and he's like, buddy, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, I was talking bad about you, man, but I just want you to let you know I want to apologize to you. Would you forgive me? He's like, oh, yeah, no problem. I said, I just want you to know, man, I love Jesus. I love you, bro. I don't want you, anything to be between us. I want you to know him. And I gave him a big hug, and he's even weirded out by that. He's like, what are you doing, dude? I'm like, come here, buddy. He's about this tall. I could wrap my arms around his waist. I say this story to say this. You're going to have opportunities to talk bad about people. You're going to have opportunities to affirm your own way. You're going to have opportunities to do what you want to do. You're going to have opportunities to do what you feel. Somebody say feel. Feel like doing. But don't do what you feel like doing. You get into your secret place and you allow God's love to pour into you so that you can pour love into others. Because we're not here to fight the lost, we're here to win them. And we're not here to fight each other. We're here to walk in unity with one another. Amen? Amen. Everybody bow your heads just for a moment. Lord, I just pray, Father, tonight over all my dear friends here, God. I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just work in each heart. Lord, I just pray, Father, right now, just a fresh touch, Father, a fresh outlook, a fresh perspective of your love for each one in here tonight, God. Lord, we want to know you and the power of who you are, but who you are is love. So, Lord, dip us tonight through the power of your Holy Spirit into a beautiful place of your love. just right now where you're at, if you right now are harboring unforgiveness towards somebody, just stretch your hand up towards heaven. I'm not going to ask anybody to look around. Just if you just right now take a moment and think about in your own heart, is there anybody right now that you're harboring unforgiveness for or towards? I see those hands. I see those hands. Praise God. Praise God. Even if you're in here and you've said, I haven't treated people the way I know Christ has treated me, stretch your hands up towards heaven. There's a lot more hands there. That's okay. Put them down. This message is not to condemn you. This message is to refresh your outlook, to dip you back into a place that God's love is what drives you every day. You've done nothing to deserve His grace and mercy. All you have done is said yes to what He's offered you. So just right where you're at, say, Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Even when I was dead in my sins, you loved me. God, may I never forget that. Help me to love others because I know you. You've never condemned me. You've never pushed me away. You've always given me mercy. You've always given me your kindness. Father, I receive your love. Now I want to freely give your love. Father, right now I pray over each person in here, God. I thank you for them. I ask for encouragement, comfort, and peace. Lord, I pray that things that they were challenging their heart by, they would not be in condemnation with, but they would find conviction and peace and a release tonight, God, a freedom in your instruction. Lord, we thank you for each one that's in here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hey, if you're in here tonight and you're not feeling well, could you stretch your hand up towards heaven real quick?